The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another award-winning Kiefer and Curry show on our YouTube channel. You can see Kip Kiefer there rubbing his nose. It usually means about
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it usually means about
my nose.
You either got an itchy nose, you're about ready to lie about something.
Oh, is that right?
Well, and just listening to your last show, you did need to know. I know that you were. It was. You can call it calling bullshit show. Is what that show is all about. And I absolutely love that.
I talked about my referee and umpire career. I make the call. I'm sure about my call, and I stand by my call.
Yes, you do. Very good. You should check it out here on Tony Curry Radio. We do a show called Kiefer and Curry where we talk about whatever we want to. We've talked about the dating advice, and certainly we are well steeped in the sports arena, so we go there. And I want to talk about some Olympics today. I have not. This is the first time I have never been called to be a guest to talk about the Olympics. I'm usually
amazing.
Well, I've been to Barcelona. I've been to Albertville.
I know.
I've been to Little Hammer. I've been to Atlanta.
Little Hammer.
And I'm not an athlete, but I've certainly been there, done that. And so I'm kind of surprised. Someone usually calls me and says, you know, just tell us about what happens there and this, that, and the other. And again, that was years ago, but it was a super good time. But I do know that money makes the world go round. So I wanted to talk about the Olympics and money. And I want to throw some things at you, and I want to get your thoughts on these things, because the first question is, and I heard this question driving in, do you consider yourself unpatriotic, or do you feel obligated to not only watch the Olympics, but root for the United States of America when the Olympics are on?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I don't feel obligated to watch it. I used to watch it a lot more than I do now, but I absolutely do not feel like I'm under any pressure to root for my country. I root for the USA. I don't care if it's water polo or pinochle or tiddlywinks. If there's a U.S. team and they're wearing the red, white, and blue, and they're representing my country appropriately, I am all for them, 100% behind them. Nobody has to compel me to root for my country.
I was a little eager to find out what our TV ratings are going to look like here in Birmingham since we had the World Games. Are you a little, as far as I know, we lost our ass, by the way, in the World Games and the Olympics.
Yes.
If you want to make money, don't hold an Olympics. By the way, there have been 11 Olympic games since 2000, from 2000 to 2020, 11 games, only four have made any money. And usually that's minimally, it's somewhere in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Athens in 2004 lost $14.5 billion. The Summer Games will be back in LA in 2028. They did something really amazing the first time they held the Olympics, because they used a lot of the buildings, because it's such a big city. They used a lot of the buildings they already had for some of those Olympic games. They didn't have to build infrastructure like, say, Atlanta did back in 1996. They were awarded the games in 1990 and they had to build the MARTA. Now, a lot of these things were probably going to be built anyway, but they had they had 6 years to put it together. Salt Lake City, of course, will have the Winter Olympics again in 2034. But yeah, it's not a moneymaker by any stretch of the imagination. And what I think is amazing about it is normally we don't do things unless they are formed around the mighty dollar. And by the way, in just a few minutes, I'm going to talk about what athletes are getting, because we talked about the NCAA and this antitrust lawsuit. If we're going back 10 years for college kids at the biggest schools, and they're getting a part of this $2.8 billion. I don't know why in the world the Olympics, and I know it's its own organization, I know it's a totally different animal, but I'm starting to wonder why, because we do have the Durants, we do have the Phelps, we do have the Ledeckis, we have some very important people that are making a lot of money, and they're making money from the Olympics. They're making it by being in the Olympics, but there are probably like 98% of this people that aren't making squat. They're not making anything.
Well, Tony, let me respond to the money thing. You know, you're absolutely right. There's been very few Olympics that have made money in the modern times, but yet you still have a whole parade of cities every time they put it up. Okay, it's time to bid for the 2036 Olympics. You got a whole slew of people spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to make these elaborate presentations, and that's not where the money stops. The presentation presentation are one thing, but there's been all kinds of scandals revealed. The IOC, who makes the decision on who gets the games, basically, there's been situations where cities have basically bribed voters and officials. I mean, there's just so much money flying around, and the reason for that is just the same thing that we kind of see in geopolitics and government now, that a lot of people are getting rich off these events. People that make the decisions, people that are that get involved in trying to solicit the decisions. There's a whole different backstage game going on here. Mm-hmm. It's like Monopoly with real money, billions of dollars going on and changing hands. So this is big business, and to hell with it if it doesn't make money. A lot of communities can be rallied around the concept that, well, we might not make money on this, but it's going to put us on the map and make us a powerhouse and lead to tourism and recognition. Yes. For our city. So there's a lot of things beyond just what the bottom line says for the actual games. There's a lot of money on the line in this from a lot of different angles.
I like to watch Mysteries of the Abandoned on the Discovery Channel.
Oh yeah, great show.
They had one, and I should know this. Maybe it was Slovakia. I forget the city that had the host city for the Olympics, but they were showing the bobsled track. Mm-hmm. And it's abandoned is what it is. I mean, there's graffiti. It's horrible. I mean, it's in the middle of the woods, and it's like, is that a bobsled track? And that was the track used in the Olympics several years ago. And again, my apologies for not knowing exactly what, but basically everything, this particular city sank into the Olympics. There was a civil war, everything blew up and everything was gone. So yeah, everyone always talks about the residual effect,
effect.
I will tell you this, NBC, by the way, bid $7.65 billion in 2014 for the Olympics through 2032. They got that. They're going to make $1.4 billion on the Paris Games alone. So television is doing pretty well. And before we talk about some of the athletes and what they actually earn, you say, wait a minute, they don't earn anything. They actually do.
Yes.
I wanted to mention the medals. I saw an interesting story last night. The gold medal weighs 1.17 pounds. The silver, 1.16 pounds. The bronze, 1 pound even. Each medal this year has 0.04 pounds of Eiffel Tower in it. How about that? So if you get a medal, you get part of the Eiffel Tower, which is
that's pretty
cool.
Awesome.
And also, for the first time, Olympic track and field gold medalists this year are awarded $50,000 from World Athletics, making it the first international federation to award prize money at an Olympic Games. The organization announced just a couple weeks ago. World Athletics President Sebastian Coe said in a recent interview with NBC that athletes deserve a share of the income they generate for the organization. Athletes are, in a sense, the bearers of the revenues that we get. Their performances at Olympic Games and our own world championships provide world athletes with broadcast revenue from the International Olympic Committee and at world championship levels, and they deserve to be paid. So I found this interesting story. Because I wanted to know, I've been to Olympics. I was in Albertville, France, and this was prior to the Soviet Union disbanding, or when the Soviet Union was falling apart. And I remember athletes from the former Soviet Union now selling their clothes because they had the CCP on it, all the Soviet Union, and people were wanting to buy this stuff because they knew there was no longer going to be a Soviet Union. It was going to be worth money. It was going to be a collector,
and the athletes had to sell it because they needed money to eat.
They did. And I mean this, and I'm not joking. Each athlete was sent with a bag of potatoes.
Unbelievable.
Now you're sent thousands of miles to Atlanta, to Barcelona, to Albertville, France, to Salt Lake City, wherever. And weight obviously is a big deal, right? Because you're on airplanes and you don't want to be carrying extra crap around. You already have luggage because you're gone for 10, 15 days. And they actually were given a bag of potatoes. yeah. So don't think it's all, bread and honey and grapes and all kinds of. Now, for some cities and some countries, it is. I did want to mention, though, certain governments do provide money for their athletes if, in fact, they provide and do well. And I found a couple of cities, and I wanted to throw these by you because they're really amazing. For example, in Paris, U.S. Olympics. If you get a bronze medal, you get 15 grand. Silver, you get 22.5, and a gold medal in the United States Olympics, you'll earn $37,000. That comes, it's right off the top. You get a $37,000 check for a gold medal, which is pretty cool. In Taiwan, gold medalists are the only ones awarded anything, and they get $747,000.
Holy cow.
For a gold medal. Indonesian badminton athletes. In the Tokyo Games in 2021, who earned gold medals were promised 5 cows, a meatball restaurant, and a new house, according to Reuters. The government also offered the pair a cash prize worth roughly $350,000 in cash, or they could take the cows, the restaurant, or the house.
Man, what a deal.
I'm telling you, Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Sports Institute also gives athletes prize money based on how they place in competitions at the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. Gold medalist in individual events, from Hong Kong will get $768,000 for each gold medal.
Unbelievable.
Youth and Sports Minister Hannah Yeo in February said national athletes who make the Olympic podium in Malaysia will be rewarded a foreign made car sponsored by an unnamed automaker, according to a report from Malay Mail, which is a Malaysian news outlet. That's pretty funny, actually.
Powerful incentives.
The Republican of Kazakhstan. If an athlete from the Republic of Kazakhstan places an event, the Republic's Ministry of Culture and Sports gives them an apartment. Its size depends on how well the prize winner does. If you get a bronze, you get a 1-room apartment, a silver, a 2-bedroom apartment, and a gold, a 3-bedroom apartment.
Now let's frame this appropriately, though. This is not a big risk for a lot of these generous people that are offering this great stuff, Tony, because most of these countries you're mentioning don't have a chance in hell of getting a medal.
You're probably right. Singapore's National Olympic Council also has its own incentive scheme. To reward Olympic medalists, it pays Olympic gold medalists in individual sports $1 million Singapore dollars, which equals about $744,000 US dollars. Gold medalists get the $744,372 for silver and $186,000 for thing. And also the governments of Italy, Morocco, Estonia, and other nations also have promised cash prize for medalists for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. I believe this is a relatively new situation. And I do wonder in this God awful, where's my money? I want to be paid for everything I'm doing because I'm an athlete world we live in. I do wonder if it's going to get to a point where some athletes, honestly, I would think winning a gold medal, silver medal, or even a bronze medal would be enough to say that you're an Olympic medalist would just be an amazing thing. That is something, it's like a Heisman Trophy winner. You're always known as a Cy Young winner, a Heisman Trophy winner, a Super Bowl winning .. or an Olympic gold medalist or Olympic medalist winner. Let me ask you this, out of all of those, and you even asked the men's basketball team, when they talk about winning NBA titles, and I forget who it was. And maybe it's because we have a much better shot at winning gold medals, than we do NBA championships, but someone was mentioned, it may have been, Steph Curry, because I think this is the first Olympics he's played in that. Yes. The one thing that he does not have that he really wants is a gold medal in the Olympics. And he was asked the question, where would that be in the titles of NBA championships? You've won. They want one, four, three or four.
Three at least, maybe four.
And he actually said that it would be more important than an NBA championship. Would you, what's your thoughts on that? And when you're talking about international sports, what are your thoughts on where a U.S. Olympic or Olympic champion would land an individual when it comes to athletes? Does it depend on the sport? What does it depend on?
Yeah, a lot of it depends on that, of course. What's really in the spotlight? I mean, some of the obscure sports. I'm sure we live in an era where everybody's getting compensated for success. I wonder how many of them are compensated just for being there. But you know, used to be, Tony, and this is one of the reasons. And you asked me the question on the top end. Do I how much I watch the games? I used to watch them just nonstop. And I even put up with some of the events that that I really wasn't that big a fan in, because the what used to be the standard of the Olympics and what the concept was when it started, it was the recognition of being the very best in the world at something was certainly worth more than any monetary compensation could get you. If you can think back to some of the great Olympic performances where on the medal stand, the winner is just overcome. Mm-hmm. All the work, all the sacrifice, all the practice and preparation. If you are putting that gold medal around your neck, it means at the, 1500 race or whatever meter race, you're the best in the world. That's what the Olympics used to stand for, international competition to crown the best of the best. If it gets into the whole thing, and there's a lot of this discussion because we focus on college football a lot, is college football going to kind of lose its allure when it becomes more of a professional sports model? To me, that's really the big question here is, and I know that has diminished my enthusiasm. Not that I begrudge anybody getting a big paycheck and being rewarded for their great talent, but to me, it just kind of takes away a little bit from the whole concept of, again, this international competition to crown the best person on earth at a particular thing.
I always thought whenever like the NBA won a championship, they say world, like the baseball is the only one where's the World Series. That is the World Series. It's not the National Series. It's not the United States Series. It's the World Series. And Major League Baseball obviously is not just in the United States. There's some other baseball teams that are pretty damn good. We've seen that certainly in international competition. And we've certainly seen just by the infiltration of Dominican Republic and China, whatever it is, that can play Major League Baseball. But I always think it's kind of funny when someone says that they're the best in the world, knowing that there probably is someone else out there that are probably just a split second faster, whether it be in a swimming pool, whether it be in a skating rink or something. And we just don't know where that person is. I realize we have to go through this, but this is what we've got. And the only way to tell if you are the best in the world is to go to an Olympics. And I guess they got the World Games. There's different types of Olympic type, sporting events, that go around. I don't know what other types of things there are. I didn't even know about the World Games until Birmingham got them, which I was pleasantly surprised. And I thoroughly enjoyed, despite the fact that we lost our ass doing it, I think we did the best job we possibly could do. And I really enjoyed it. I took my son. It was just another, like you do with your boys, it was another great opportunity to create some memories. And we saw the thing where they jump out of the airplane and the parachute and land in the water. I mean, there were some crazy games. It was super cool. Frisbee football, I thought was really cool. There were a couple of games that I thought were just knockdown, drag out, wacko. And the fact that it was a little spread out and we go to different areas. But I do wonder, it's amazing because having gotten an opportunity to go to four Olympics myself, I would not have gone had I not been part of the Coca-Cola family. And Coca-Cola was the one that sent me to those four Olympics. But I do think, and my son was asking this question, he says, do you want to go to the LA Olympics in 2028? And I said, yeah. And he was surprised. He's like, well, you've been to four. I said, yeah, the fact that I've gone makes me want to go. Had I never gone before, I don't know if I'd actually will have tasted what it's like. I said, the fact that it's in the United States does make me want to go a little bit more. And I think Salt Lake City will be interesting too. But do you have any... You're a bucket list guy. You sit front row for NHL... championships,
Stanley Cup games,
and Stanley Cup games. Do you have any inkling? Is there anything that makes you want to go? Did you go to Atlanta in 1996? First of all, would you want to go to the Olympics? And if you did, would you go out?
I did go to the Atlanta games two different times, and I also went to Legion Field here.
Yes,
and did something that I never would have done for. I would never have gone to a soccer game unless it was under the Olympic banner. The USA played Argentina here in a qualifying round at Legion Field. And Argentina, you know, Tony, was a massive favorite. I will say, because we've even done a show on this program of why I hate soccer. I do not like the game. I think it's dull. I don't really understand any game where your upper body, well, you can use your head, but you can't use your arms or your hands.
Let me back up real quick. You know, the United States men's team this past week, they scored a goal this past weekend.
That's what I was just getting ready to say.
Do you know what that goal was? It was the first goal that the men's U.S. Olympic team has scored in 16 years, is what I heard.
No kidding.
And I was like, wait a minute. The first Olympic goal they've scored in 16 years.
See, and that's what's wrong with that game. So what I was going to tell you here is at Legion Field, it was absolutely packed out. It was a hot day because it was like July or August, so you can imagine. But the teams came on the field, all the circumstances. Both my sons were real young in 1996. Let's see, Case would have been 9, Clate would have been only 4. But we were there, and we saw all of the pomp and circumstance, and it was wonderful singing the national anthem at such a standing up and joining in was just very felt patriotic, and you just felt part of your country. And then here in Alabama, in the stadium that Bear Bryant had made famous in the football capital of the South, the game started, and in most uncharacteristic script you could ever imagine, the Americans took control, made a long pass, a guy kicked it from about 30 yards, nothing but the back of the net, baby. And I'm telling you, it was like 15 or 20 seconds in the game. I have been to sporting events all around this country, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, majors in golf. The roar at Legion Field when the USA, a huge underdog, scored against Argentina less than a minute into the game. I have never heard a roar like that. Wow. And you remember they had to kind of take the upper deck down a few years later because it got condemned at Legion Field.
Yeah, it did.
I think the absolute volcanic eruption from that first U.S. goal that day is probably what damaged the upper deck, and they had to dismantle it. Of course, Argentina went on to score the next 5 goals over the next 2 hours, 5-1 final. But it was still a moment in sports that I will never, ever forget. And I am not a soccer guy, but I am a USA guy, and that was awesome.
No, the first chink in the armor there for Legion Field was the Rolling Stones and their steel wheels. Their steel wheels tour in 92. And then of course the Olympics. Yeah, the Olympics was like, okay, it's time to take it down. That was when we almost condemned it after the Stones, but they had to keep it up for at least that. You know, it's interesting because I'm a sports fan. I love sports, and I did find myself, I don't want to say I felt more patriotic, because I consider myself a pretty patriotic kind of guy, and I know you do too. But there is something to be said, the camaraderie, and I guess maybe seeing these sports in a different, I've always been a road guy. I always like traveling on the road. First of all, I like seeing other cities. I like seeing other fan bases.
Yeah,
I like to see
me too.
Other restaurants. I know what I have here, and I know it's more comfortable here, and I know that I'm close to home. But I've always loved going on road games because, man, to win on the road, there's nothing better than winning on the road. And seeing Olympics on the road are really, really special too. And when you're talking about, you know, 100 different countries being included in this, it's just really amazing. And I'll say this, and then we'll let it fly. And I kind of wanted you to talk about this. We live in a world right now that is perhaps more fragmented than it's ever been.
Definitely.
There are currently, I don't know how many different wars going on. Of course, we know about the two big ones, and that being, of course, Israel and Ukraine and Russia. Mm-hmm. But there are like 12 other wars going on we don't even know about. Certainly in this country, and we've seen how this country, the United States of America, reacts and responds when we're put up against the wall, when we do need to step it up and be together as a unit, we do it. Whether it's 9/11, whether it's a tragic shooting, whatever it is, whether it's a hurricane, whatever it is, we do step it up. And I love that about us. Certainly if you've watched enough shows, and I know you have, about World War II, I think when World War II started, I think I want to say we were the 16th or 17th most populous armed force in the world, yes. Like a 16th. And then by the time World War II was over, we were number one, man. I mean, Morocco had a stronger army than we did when we started.
It's true.
I mean, and we got together and next thing you know, we're making 2,000 airplanes a day. And we've got women and men who've never even touched an airplane making airplane parts. It was really amazing. And I just kind of want you to take us to the house with your thoughts on what it means as a country, what it means as a sports fan, what it means, and I'll go back to the country aspect of it, to know that we've got something. Sports have always been the great equalizer. They've always been the one thing. That's why I hate when I don't see teams shake hands. And in the hockey, they're beating the hell out of each other. There's times when two players go out and they know they're going to fight. The refs put their hands down because they know they're calling two guys off the benches just to come out and fight. And then 3 minutes later, they're shaking and hugging each other's hands because it was just a great game. It's the one thing I love about sportsmanship is they're shaking hands afterwards. It's the one time where, listen, we've laid it all out here. This is what the game's all about. And hopefully we can do that with Olympics too.
Well, there was an incident last night in the Olympics. Not sure what the sport was, but the guy from Tajikistan was matched against an Israeli competitor. Tajikistan, of course, is a radical Muslim country, has been responsible for some horrible terrorist acts recently, including the murder of 150 Russian citizens at an opera in Moscow. But the Tajikistan athlete refused to shake hands with the Israeli athlete last night. It's the first time in the Olympics that I've seen a direct line along these lines, because the Olympic Games were conceived, of course, in ancient Greece, and a lot of warring factions that made up the Greek Empire sent their best athletes, and it was all, of course, all of the it was all men, and they all competed naked, which is very interesting. I guess that's a great equalizer for limiting the tension. But the Olympics have always stood for, this is the cessation of all of this turmoil. This is the time where we take a step back and just celebrate the achievements and the masterful athletic skills or personal skills of the competitors. And you said it best, this world is fragmented right now. Politics has seeped into everything, ideology, religious, fanaticisms. It's noble that we continue to try and stage Olympics, and that there's some degree, I hope, of some of the reasons it was founded. But, you know, like we talked about before, Tony, what drives everything is the almighty dollar. And I hate to be a skeptic, but I don't think the Olympics would be continuing now in this fragmented world if it didn't mean just massive amounts of revenue for the people who are organizing it, televising it, and now participating in it. It's really kind of lost its pure origins, I think. And I don't see a scenario where that's going to get any better going forward.
Great take, Kip Kiefer. I'm Tony Curry. More great takes from both of us coming up this Saturday morning, ABC 3340. We do a show called The Starting Lineup. It's a fantastic show. We have Terry Quillian on there. Of course, the legend's on there. He always likes to push some buttons. Case, your boy out there in the deserts, could be picking out. He's already given us a bunch of futures. We've also got another special podcast we're going to be doing between you and I and your son and Kai Gregory. It's going to be a great show, a gambling show. We're going to be giving you some picks. Hey, listen, we were like, I want to say 27-10 or something last year. It was crazy how good our numbers and picks were. So we're like, why don't we put these out there so everyone can get a chance to check these picks out for yourself. So we'll have that show going on weekly. And of course, all kinds of great special guests. We had a wonderful woman, Ashley from the Glass Panda, this past show.
She was great.
Oh, it's fantastic. I was burping up that special sauce like 4 hours later. It was fantastic. You never know who's going to be on the big show, so make sure you check us out again on Saturday mornings on ABC 3340 Network Television for The Starting Lineup. Kip, until next week, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
Tony, enjoyed it, and enjoy the rest of the Olympics. Hopefully we'll see some good competition and a little less politics. Let's see some great sporting achievements. Let's follow the example. Let's not get back to the naked guys, but let's follow the Greek example of what the games were originally conceived to be. I'm glad we had a chance to talk about it.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.